The Oedipal Trauma. Oedipus, in Sophocles' famous tragedy, killed his father and married his mother. He did not act consciously, but was led by fate, the invisible threads of his destiny. The whole tragedy was triggered by an oracle that told Oedipus' father he would die through the hand of his own son, who was then going to marry his own mother. In order to escape the oracle, the father let bind the child and told a slave to abandon him in a forest. The slave did not follow the order, and being moved by the dreadful fate of the baby, gave it to another royal family of the region. When the boy was grown up, he left in order to find his true parents. It was through Oedipus' success in solving the Sphinx's riddle that he was going to marry his own mother. The marriage, as well as the patricide that preceded it, were acts that Oedipus committed innocently, not knowing the truth. He was thus not aware what he was doing. Or, to put it in other words, he was completely blind regarding the truth of his fate. However, as the story continues, it becomes clear that, despite his innocence, Oedipus was not considered free of guilt. The strange story became the basis of Freud's theory of the Oedipal complex and of his theory of infantile sexuality. Even those critics who attack some of Freud's theories agree with him for the universal validity of the Oedipus complex. And here is where my own critique sets in, as I pointed it out extensively on iPublica research. It is simply not true that the theory of the Oedipus complex applies universally. In the above-mentioned Tropaean culture, where children enjoy a full sexual life with peers, anthropologists could not find Freud's developmental phases of psychosexual growth, such as oral, anal, and genital phase with children, nor the latency phase, a period of sexual disinterest that Freud located between the age of 7 and puberty, nor the typical revolt and frequent violence of the adolescent that we know from most Western industrialized countries. The disturbing thing is that, despite clear evidence to the contrary, Freudian psychoanalysts and Western anthropologists continue to pretend that the Freudian psychoanalytic system had a universal and cross-cultural value. Fact is that Freud's theory is bound to our own culture and valid only for our own culture. It could even be said to be a product of this culture and a system of conditioning for this culture. The same is to be seen regarding Freud's assumption of the universality of the incest taboo. Here too, what we find after looking around a bit in human history is the exact opposite. A simple regard back in time shows that, for example, in the Egyptian aristocracy, during the times of the pharaonic regime, incest was the rule. Pharaonic rulers used to marry either their sisters or their daughters, and never anybody from outside of the family. In addition, as Wilhelm Reich found through careful analysis of Malinowski's field studies on the Tropaeans, the incest taboo with the Tropaeans and most other native cultures cannot be compared with patriarchy's incest taboo, because in these matrilineal cultures, the child is raised not by the father, but an uncle, a brother of their mother. Thus, no incest taboo for the father-daughter relation is put up in any of these cultures, but well an incest taboo between the child and their tutelary uncle. And this incest taboo is even stronger than ours, as these two persons must live in different villages and not just sleep in different beds. But to conclude from their incest taboo on ours is about as scientific as applying matrilineal laws of succession for patrilineal cultures. Freud's argument on the universality of what we in patriarchal cultures understand under incest, that is, parent-child direct line incest, simply is not a concern for most native cultures when the father is concerned. While it is well true for for mother-son incest. But the problem relation that is most of the time cited in Western countries as the root of domestic abuse is the father-daughter relation and not the mother-son relation. And here, for the above reasons, no argument can be drawn from native cultures, and hence no argument can be made up that has an even slightly universal impact. This is simply so because despite the economic power and world dominance of patriarchal cultures, the overwhelming majority of cultures, measured by size of population, is matriarchal. To speak of any kind of universality of psychoanalytic findings in the face of such blunt evidence to the contrary shows the ideological nature of the psychoanalytic system, a fact that is recognized by a number of mostly French and Spanish philosophers, while in Anglo-Saxon culture little or no critical understanding about the validity of the psychoanalytic system has ever been voiced and developed. Any kind of cross-cultural study will only corroborate my critical approach, that is, they will demonstrate to what extent cultures differ in the social mechanisms that regulate childcare and the psychosexual development of children. Cultures with a matrilineal inheritance setup tend to raise children with the child's natural continuum, whereas patrilineal cultures tend to condition the child according to firm cultural or ideological values and a rigid system of morality. This ideological and religious conditioning that alienates the child from nature and from the natural functions of their body is primarily effected through indoctrination and secondly through gradually alienating children from their bodies. The most effective way used to indoctrinate children with cultural prohibitions and taboos proceeds by implanting early in them a deeply rooted doubt about who they are. This doubt, which creates a vacuum, will then be filled with magic formulas such as "be not what you are." The next step is to force the child to play roles in order to please their parents. The main role in this drama, which is the drama of the gifted child, as Alice Miller called it, is the role of the child as father or mother of his own parents. This education that I call rearing narcissistic comedians is very common in Western industrial culture. This is why narcissism as a serious emotional affliction is rampant in all our Western nations, especially in the United States. However, few researchers are able to look through the cultural veil and see the roots of narcissism where they are, in our child-rearing paradigm. Those who do, such as Alice Miller or Alexander Loewen, are not representing mainstream science, despite the brilliance of their work. They have found that education that typically leads to narcissism is rich in inventing and executing several other magic formulas that are given to the child as hypnotic suggestions. Some of these are: be adaptable and flexible until self-alienation. Never be yourself in front of your parents. Be not childlike. Be mature in immaturity. Understand what your parents don't understand. Be logical and uncomplicated. Respect your parents while disregarding yourself. Mistrust your intuition. Follow authority without questioning. Many parents who educate their children in a system-conform manner are not conscious about the fact that they act as the long arm of political systems and ideologies, subtly hypnotizing their children with the concepts they have themselves been fed with. On the other hand, within this system of ideological conditioning of the child, it is considered revolutionary, if not some sort of subversive activity, to rear children in truth and autonomy. For such kind of education is not compatible with the Oedipal schizophrenia that mainstream education is based upon in our culture. To raise children responsibly does not mean to charge them with the burden of responsibility they cannot meet. However, to do this is typical for the tactics of Oedipal education, which calls itself hypocritically child protective. Education toward autonomy is based upon the unique truth of every single child. Also, and especially if this individual truth is totally contrary to the reigning socio-political ideologies. It is especially disturbing for the industrial culture that the child be a complete sexual being from birth, and that as a result, children have a birthright to have their emotions and their sexual feelings respected. Françoise Dolto, in her book La Cause des Enfants, wrote that it scandalizes most adults that a child be their equal and that therefore most parents raise their children as formerly princes ruled their kingdoms. The socio-political reasons why this is so are obvious. A body-oriented child is not a consumer of toys, and a thousand needs and devices artificially created by the industrial consumer culture. For those who object this view, I recall that the repression of the child's sexuality has exactly started with the onset of the Western industrial bourgeoisie at the end of the 17th century. Most researchers agree about this fact, and historical studies about child-rearing practices in Europe stress the fact that still during Renaissance, the sexuality of the child was not interfered with, and that back in the Middle Ages, apart from Christian circles, it was completely free. Consumerist industrialization brought the societal replacement of body pleasure, or a state of to be, by ersatz pleasure, or a state of to have, to refer to Erich Fromm's leading psychoanalytical research on this matter. Ersatz body pleasure is the pleasure that replaces original body pleasure. Thus, first of all, the toy. Not the self-made toy that still has some connection with the body, but the industrially produced toy that is completely alien to the child's body. Typically, this toy, which in the meantime is produced by a gigantic worldwide industry, consists of materials that are not akin to the human body, but plastic and metal. Both materials have in common that they are cold and rigid, while the body is warm and pliable. Unconsciously, children are conditioned upon the characteristics of the toys they are playing with. Be plastic, be without feelings, artificial. Be metal, be hard and mechanical. These are the characteristics of the culture you are growing into, so mold yourself accordingly. In addition, techniques of confusion are used in education to gradually alienate the child from their own truth, which is their body continuum. The child namely thinks from the body toward the mind, and thus inductively, while the conditioned adult thinks from the mind toward the body, and thus deductively. This means that the child's truth is defined and experienced as the truth of their body. Every truth that disregards this body or tries to set it aside will not be regarded by the child as truth. It is for this reason that children cannot comprehend morality and moralistic educational concepts, as those concepts deny the body and are to be understood only by the rational mind. The result are lifelong giant babies with water heads, adults that have never made the cut with their childhood and that remain erotically immature. True virgins. But life has not made us to remain virgins, but to leave virginity and grow into loving copulation. Otherwise, life could not continue. The fundamental conditioning of man is done within the first 7 years. What comes later is only polish. Oedipal confusion cheats about this truth. It creates a confused spirit within an immature and rigid non-sexual body that has lost its natural intelligence. Oedipal confusion plays the game of eternal maternity until the baby is far older than 30. It loves naive mother dependence and mistrusts children who are precociously mature. It has blown the childcare industry up to a gigantic worldwide business with children as their products. Children who resist Oedipal castration and maintain their natural capacity for sexual love and sensual pleasure and curiosity are put in the corner and labeled as sexualized and delinquent. If they still dare to play their own game, the child psychiatrist is ready to interfere and to issue a certificate which will mark the social death blow, schizophrenic or epileptic. Oedipal culture has created a hermetic system which makes it impossible for the child to escape. For the gifted child, as Alice Miller puts it, there is only one way, neurosis or psychosis. Like little Briar Rose of the Grimm tale, who slept deeply over many years, their originality and creativity is put to sleep until one day a prince comes and kisses them back to their true nature. Alternative child psychiatrists such as Ronald David Lange, Bruno Bettelheim, Françoise Dolto and others have emphasized in their writings the need for the child to develop personal autonomy from a young age so that they can realize their intrinsic beauty and often hidden talents. Françoise Dolto admitted in her book La Cause des Enfants that the Oedipal situation caused the child to lose all memory of the time before the Oedipal phase. She came up with this argument as an answer to the question why most adults deny the existence of child sexuality. I have very consciously entitled this chapter The Oedipal Trauma because Dolto's revealing explanation about the amnesia produced by the Oedipal situation, evaluated within the context of Freudian psychoanalysis, shows that psychosexual growth that denies the child to develop their sexual function through loving intercourse with peers, imposing instead on the child an unwritten obligation to erotically identify with their parents, is deeply traumatic for the child. Freud namely explained long before Dolto the fact that child trauma results invariably in a loss of memory, then coined by Freud as childhood amnesia. If it is Oedipal psychosexual growth itself that brings about this amnesia, and thus the fact that the child is deprived of real love possibilities outside of the family, we don't need to look for early child abuse as a cause for this loss of memory. One must be struck with blindness not to see that's the fact to force the child to erotically identify with their parents and thus the very core of the Freudian system that causes child trauma, and not any abstruse construct of childhood abuse as the number one culprit for child trauma sought after as the quintessential ghost in the house by mental health professionals today.